All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Tuesday on The Usual Suspects, and hopefully you're up and at 'em and chipper and enjoying the beautiful weather in Houston, Texas, as we are here to hopefully entertain you and talk about things between now and 4 o'clock. It is Nick, it is Barry, it is myself. What's up, fellas? How's everything
going? What's up, man?
What up? What's going on?
All good. Enjoyed a good football game last night.
Yeah.
Entertaining.
Good game.
Yeah. So that was something. And other than that, not a whole lot.
I'm happy to report I survived the gym. And I went to this. So it's a gym that's not like a normal just go lift weights gym, right? Like you go in and they have a set workout for you. So it's kind of like if you've ever done CrossFit, how they have a WOD.
Don't get me started.
No, you
early.
Don't. You don't. Workout of the day, Joel.
Oh, I see. It's an acronym, I think they call that. Yes.
So they have a WOD, and that's kind of what they had at this gym. And I was a little nervous that I was going to
shoot your WOD.
No. See, I was nervous I was going to like throw up and pass out, and possibly at the same time. But I didn't make it all the way through. I will say this, though. When I go to the gym, especially when you're out of shape, right? You're not going to be able to get through all of the workouts. You're right? And so you tend to have excuses. And that's fine. And I think most people let you have those excuses. There was a guy working out, doing the full workout, and he had one arm. So from just past the elbow was gone on his left or right arm. I don't remember which now, left or right arm.
Okay.
And I thought, well, I'm going to look like an a-hole if I sit here and make excuses why I can't work out. And this guy was better than anyone else in the gym.
That's impressive.
Stronger, faster, did all of the stuff that we did. Now, he would modify it, obviously, but I was like, while I appreciate what this man is able to accomplish and the perseverance and everything, it kind of pissed me off because I'm like, you know, I would like to be able to have a pity party right now. I'd like to be able to feel sorry for myself for being out of shape. I just shut my mouth. I was like, nope, you know what? I'm not going to do it. That just kind of took all the excuses away. So I was kind of upset about that, but I was mesmerized at what an athlete this dude was.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it was very impressive.
I think that the funny thing was I was like in and out checking my phone while I got home, and of course Lisa hands me the baby. Uh-huh. And I'm like, all right, so that's going to derail some things.
Yeah.
And so then I was doing a bunch of stuff, but I was kind of checking Twitter off and on, and all of a sudden I saw someone tweet, so can't wait to hear Nick, Joel, and Trey on The Usual Suspects tomorrow. I'm like, what the hell did I miss?
Right.
And then I went back and saw that you had...
They were saying I was going to die.
Yeah.
But I didn't die. I worked out.
Damn.
And it went...
I beat Nick to it.
And it went okay. Yeah. He was the one wishing.
Yeah.
But no, it went fine. I'm already sore, which is not a good sign, because usually you're not really sore until the second day. Yeah. Day two after the workout.
But they say if you do cardio today.
So I should go run when I get home?
If you do cardio today, it'll maybe make I'll tomorrow do that. A
get
lot
the
easier.
Lactic acid
yep.
out.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that. But no, it was good to get back in the gym. And yeah, it was. So I'm like, all right, if I eat less than 2,000 calories a day, I'm good, right? So I had my Chick-fil-A for breakfast. For lunch, 500 calories, I'm good. And Nora's like, what do you want? What do you want for dinner? I was like, I don't know, as long as it's less than two. So she goes, oh, how about Whataburger? I'm like,
did you?
Yeah.
Aha!
But I managed to get in under 1,500 calories at Whataburger. You know why?
Did you?
I did. So I use the app, and it tells you how many calories are in the food, right? So you've got, like, the burger and then the fries and then the drink, right? Well, what I notice is when you pull up the double meat Whataburger, nope. When you pull that up, it says 1,700 calories.
Why am I like, biting my tongue in two different subjects in the first freaking segment of the show?
Yeah, wads and double meat, and you can't help yourself. So, but then I noticed when I started making the meal, like, I'm like, okay, I want onions, I don't want tomato, this, that, and the other, right? And then I get to the drinks, and I switch it to Diet Coke, and went from 1,700 to 1,100 for the meal with a large fry. And I was like, yes, daddy is in there. So, yeah, my meals yesterday were less than 2,000 calories. Now, it was all fast food.
Wow.
And I'm sure I would be in better shape had I eaten a salad, but I feel like as long as I'm below 2,000 calories and work out, I'm going to be in good shape. So I'll still eat fast food. I don't know that I would give it up at this point.
Remember that experiment I was doing trying to be vegan like Lisa?
Yeah.
That's over.
I don't see how anybody can. I mean, I guess if you do it for like 2 or 3 years straight, I guess it's
especially
hard to go back.
Joel, because you love meat.
Nope. You're the one that keeps talking about it and put it in your mouth. I'm just telling you right now that even the vegan protein powder, I was like, it just.
I bet you had the farts. Oh,
no.
I bet they were awful.
No, but it was weird. Oh. It had like an adverse effect, like the back of my neck would ache and stuff like that. And I was like,
what?
Is that from the, I don't know if that was from that powder or what, but I was like, no, I'm going back to egg whites and just
meat,
fruit and regular
meat.
Protein powder.
And
salads and things. I was like, no, I'm not doing all that vegan stuff anymore. And of course, then I saw that I got the kind of stink eye from Lisa. I was like, hey, no, I'm not telling you, you can't do it.
Is she the kind of vegan that's like, meat is murder vegan? Or is she just like, I feel sorry for animals, so
I'm gonna tell you exactly
meat.
What kind of vegan she is, okay?
Okay.
So if you were watching the news last night,
yes.
All right, there was a tragic plane crash in which at least 12 people from the same family
yes.
went down in a plane, 3 survived. The pictures they showed, they were on a hunting trip in which they killed a lot of animals.
Okay.
She said, I feel very, very bad for all the all the people in that family and everything that's happened, but they shouldn't have been killing. I was like, are you serious? She's like, I just don't agree. I was like, Lisa. She's like, look, I hate that they went down in a plane crash, and I feel horrible for them and their family and everything like that, but it still bothers me that they were shooting ducks and everything. I was like, oh, come on.
I feel like, though, hunting is more about controlling the animal population than just killing animals. Does she realize how bad and miserable our existence would be if deer were allowed to run free without being hunted?
Because then
it'd be just like these feral hogs, and don't get me started on that.
Nope.
See?
But here's the thing. She has that opinion on that.
Uh-huh.
But then we're walking the dogs one day, and we see a hawk just swoop down and take out a rabbit.
Okay.
And I was like, that aggravates me, man. That rabbit wasn't doing anything wrong. And that bothered me. She goes, Joel, it's the way it's the way it all works.
It's nature.
Yeah. Well, it's just, and I go, wait a minute.
Well, we're at the top of the food chain. That's what happens. The hawk is at the is it above the food chain?
And we got some serious hawks in our neighborhood too.
Do you?
Because like I look when we the chihuahua was out running around, I was like that freaking hawk is gonna one of these days gonna swoop down and just swallow the chihuahua.
That wouldn't be so bad though. It's a chihuahua.
And it's not a loud chihuahua.
I
call it our cat because really it's got great personality. It doesn't make a lot of noise. So really? I'm like I'm okay with it. That's actually one of the easiest dogs to deal with.
Really,
yep.
Chihuahua.
It's a long haired chihuahua.
I think that's what my niece has is a long-haired chihuahua, and that's actually pretty good. It's not the yappy.
No. Although, you know, Lisa rescued it from a hoarding case that was on the news, and they wanted someone high profile to take at least one of the dogs to prove that, you know, the dogs can find a good home and everything like that. So we took the long-haired chihuahua, and at first she was scared of her own shadow. She didn't want to come out of the cage. Now she's so comfortable that, like, not only if someone comes to the door, she's a better watchdog than my 100-pound lab.
So somebody was hoarding chihuahuas?
No, they were hoarding just animals. And period. They broke up a hoarding at a house where they had I think they had something like 250 different animals.
What?
Yeah. And they had to confiscate all the animals, and a lot of them were in deplorable condition, and they had to try and save them all and everything like that.
Word.
So we rescued this long-haired chihuahua. But once she got comfortable, she bosses our big dogs around. She will tell you before anybody else, she'll make a noise if someone's anywhere near the house. But yeah, it's her world and the other dogs are living in it. Now, she obeys us. But
yeah.
With the other dogs, she'll tell that pit bull to go sit his ass down and get out. She'll go eat their food while they're eating it, and she'll like, and try me.
Wow.
She'll look and go, I bet you won't. She kind of is.
Was she the
and
first
she's four
one?
And a half pounds.
Was she the first one?
No.
Oh. Well, good for
her.
We
brought her in after the fact, and she has taken over.
Good for her.
Yeah, she's got some power in the house.
Yeah.
So, okay, we got a lot to get to today on the show. And, of course, you guys are welcome to chime in. We can talk about the football game last night. That was a good one. And for personal reasons, I was very pleased with the outcome. Yeah, but there's things to talk about there. We've got the Texans preparing for the Broncos. We've got the Rockets in San Antonio to take on the Spurs as they get onto a little road trip here as they keep going. Player of the Week in the Western Conference. A lot of you were very upset it wasn't James Harden. Talk about that, too. And if you want to join us, the HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Call that number or text that number, as Barry's checking the text throughout the show, and we respond accordingly as they warrant it. And, of course, you can reach us via Twitter, where it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Barry is funny. We are the usual suspects. And before we go to break, this is ESPN 97.5, Barry.
Yeah, it is, man. Hey, look, there is 2 months left in the football season, roughly, and you still have time if you want to get action on these games to do so. I highly recommend, if you're going to do that, if you've been mulling it over and maybe, you know, you've been plotting and doing it offline and practicing before you actually start risking real money on it, now's the time. Go do it at MyBookie. It's the online destination to get action on any game out there. They've got more prop bets than any other sports book. They've got everything you could want. Best part about it is absolutely nobody pays you faster than MyBookie. You get your cash when you want it. That is so important nowadays. A lot of these fly-by-night betting places and a lot of these others that you hear about, these horror stories of not being able to get your money out, that's absolutely true. That can absolutely happen. It just doesn't happen at MyBookie. When you want your money, they pay you. Guys, that is so important. Don't bet with some no-name sports book that's not going to get you your money right away. Go with the best, and the best is absolutely MyBookie. And they've got in-game live action. So if you want to get action, if you're like Jerry Bowe and you're just out there just getting after it all game long, every game, you can absolutely do that with MyBookie. So you can follow Jerry Bowe or you can follow AJ or me or any of the other folks that are putting out tips and get that action at MyBookie. And right now, when you sign up, they're going to double your first deposit up to $1,000 in free money. All you got to do is put in promo code radio when you go to MyBookie.ag and sign up. So don't forget that promo code radio. Take advantage of that exclusive double your money offer. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Let's get to the real breaking news, people.
Okay.
Inquiring minds want to know.
You're pregnant.
No.
Oh.
Been through that.
Oh, God, I hope this is worth breaking news sounder.
The Seahawks receivers that did the end zone celebration last night that was choreographed was New Edition's If It Isn't Love.
Yeah.
That's breaking news.
That's
not going to get that anywhere else.
That's the breaking news. At 1:20 in the afternoon, you don't think the people hadn't already found that out?
No, I don't.
I feel like pretty much everybody knows that by now. Did you
know that before I said it?
Yeah, anyone with an internet connection.
You're full of it. Nick, did you know that?
I did not. That's
See,
news
thank
to me.
You. One really? Out of two ain't bad. He's lying, by the way. But that's great, by the
no,
way.
No, I totally,
it.
I swear I knew it. Just because I'm doing show prep. I saw articles.
I mean, I believe that you
what,
knew
you
it.
Did
I saw articles on like Larry.
Doing what?
Shut up. Larry Brown, sports, and Bro Bible.
Okay, I think what do you want to talk about, Bear?
Both had, or maybe it was For the Win. But they, I think, yeah, two of those had the fact that it was a New Edition dance. I didn't know it at the time. I thought it was the Macarena. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, is that not the Macarena? But I didn't know. But there was only four of them. Okay, can we talk about last night's game?
Yeah.
Can we talk about the fact that it was a good game, but I literally couldn't listen anymore, and not because of why you would think? Not because of Booger McFarland. Didn't mind him at all.
Okay.
them having Russell Wilson mic'd up and playing it every 5 minutes and knowing he knows he's mic'd up,
that's the big
and thing. Hamming it up for the microphone was disgusting.
Now, he's a real positive guy.
I feel like religious he was way guy, over the top.
But I feel like the same way I felt when Jameis Winston was mic'd up for the pregame speeches during Hard Knocks when they did the Buccaneers deal.
Yeah.
I'm agreeing with you in the fact that I know Russ is a positive guy, a religious guy, a go-go guy, but he was over the top last night.
It was almost disgusting. I was like, I can't listen to this dude be so fake positive anymore. Here we go, 3-2. Here we go, 3-2. There we go. Let's finish it out, 3-2. Let's finish it out. Here we go, 20. Come on, bro. You ain't that.
The only people that enjoy that was Seattle fans.
You think so?
Probably, right?
Nobody's that positive, right?
I mean, you always get that vibe when someone's that positive. You're like, you know what? You are fake positive.
You're not that perky. Yeah.
Who's like that around this? Like you at first you thought it was fake, but then you realize, no, this person's like positive like all the time. I'm trying to think of someone.
Probably me.
No, that would be
you're
a massive
the exact
negative.
Opposite of that.
Massive negative.
Glenn
Davis.
Always,
I feel like he's been consistently positive with me every single time.
That's a pretty good call.
That's a pretty good call. Yeah.
Who else? I can't think of anybody else.
Definitely no on-air hosts are positive.
Probably.
Definitely not.
Not like over the top positive.
Jordan was consistently positive.
Jordan was consistently positive. Jake Asman is always consistently positive.
I would throw Jake in that
and
mix.
Esme.
I would throw her in there.
Yeah. Every time I see Esme, always positive, always happy, always has a smile. So that would be my short list of positive folks here.
Yeah.
But
you know what I mean. Like it comes off as fake, and then you realize they're consistent about it.
Yeah. No. Because last night I was like, bro, I realize you're probably, it's like if he was a 10 last night, he's probably normally what, a 7, but he just ramped it up a little
bit.
I was like, all right, I can't listen to this. And that surprised me because, you know, a lot of people don't like Booger. And we've had the discussion.
I have days where I like him, days that I don't. It's weird.
I thought he did fine last night, actually. Yeah. I didn't think it was a big deal last night, but people were still going on about him and. That was something I couldn't deal with.
Yeah, I mean, he's you're right. It was a little bit over the top, but I think the thing is like Booger to me was better last night in terms of because the whole thing too was this constant about Kirk Cousins and it wouldn't go away, and then he kept saying, you know, America, let's see it now, let's see what he's got, let's do this, let's do that. Look, bottom line is then stick with that narrative, and if you believe like, hey. He may not be like a franchise elite quarterback like Brady and Breeze and all those guys, but he's better than average. It's just where are you on the scale? The fact that they were beating into the ground, the fact that he hadn't won, he was 0-7, now 0-8 on Monday Night Football. Okay. I mean, a lot of those were with the Redskins when they sucked.
Yeah.
But you look at it and you're like, then fine, stick with that. But then don't go after the game and start sticking up for him. Either you're going to point out all of his shortcomings and his record and get on it and say, look, I'm waiting to be, you know, talked out of this, blah, blah, blah. But then when he didn't play bad.
No.
They just didn't win the game. But then, you see all the things he did wrong. Look, the pick he threw, it was in Stephon Diggs' hands. It went right through him.
Yeah. It's kind of like Russell's pick. Like, you can't really count that.
Right, because, he tried to bat the ball down. He batted it right to a D-back.
He did what instinct and coaching tells him to do, and it didn't work out.
Yeah, and you look, and I look at the game itself, and I look at Kirk Cousins, and I've told you, the reason why all along I've said they're not a Super Bowl contender, the reason why I don't care how good their defense is and Dalvin Cook's the best running back in football and the receivers are great is because of Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, he's not bad. He's just not good enough to, one, deserve all the money he got, or be a guy that's going to lead you to the promised land, in my opinion. And I could be wrong, but I just don't see it.
I mean, he's got him at 8-4. And, you know, like you mentioned earlier, it turned around once the team got after him. But I think he's always been pretty good. And we had this argument before where I was defending him.
It's a discussion, Barry. It's never an argument.
True, true, true. But I don't think he's great, but I don't think he's average. I think he's somewhere between above average and good.
And I'm fine with that.
You know, I mean, he's going to be in that kind of top third, somewhere around the bottom of the top third, if that's, I just sound like John Madden right there.
Yeah.
But you know, not bad, not good. Not bad, not great, I should say.
And on the flip side, just talking about Russell Wilson, the player, look, I get what kind of year Lamar Jackson is having, and I get what kind of team that they have. But I look at that Seattle team, and yeah, their defense is above average, and their running game really was established last
defense
night.
Didn't look above average last night.
But I'm just telling you right now, Russell Wilson. It's one thing to just talk about the ability to run, scramble, and the passes he makes and everything like that. But the fact that his pinpoint accuracy, that receiver flat out missed a laser to the right side of the end zone that would have been a touchdown. And he just didn't have his hands in the right spot. They said he'd been sick all week, and they were trying to say like he was kind of groggy. But it's like, but Russell Wilson, from an intangible standpoint, in terms of the decision-making, the leadership, the play calling, the things that he does, I look at that team and I go, God, without Russell Wilson, I don't see that team being better than 500.
I mean, that you figure that a lot of what they do and the success that they have offensively is due in large part to him, and that includes running the football. I mean, you know, because you have to respect the run and the way that they can mix it up and do, you know, play actions and draws and all that. So you almost have to, are they going to run the ball this much and this consistently? And Chris Carson had another 100-yard game and Penny had 74 yards. But a lot of this is because of the intangibles and you know, the skill set that Russell Wilson has to set up that offense to where you've got to respect him, whether he's in shotgun or under center, because you don't know when he's going to run the ball. And I think that that helps him a lot. I was surprised to hear on the broadcast that dude has never had an MVP vote. Is that real?
I don't know if that's real or not, but that's ludicrous if that's the
case.
But
they said he has never had an MVP vote.
Any other year, any other situation, I don't know how Russell Wilson isn't running away with MVP.
Well, this year I think he gets votes, but up to this point, he's never, no one in the history of his career has ever voted for him for MVP.
Everyone that plays fantasy football knows just total yards, rushing and passing and all the things he does. His numbers alone warrant a couple MVP. I mean, if Bill Worrell voted, he'd have at least one vote.
It was probably a situation where he had a phenomenal year, but some random quarterback had slightly or definitively a better, like, you know, he was always just one player away from, it might be a situation like that.
But to have never gotten a single vote?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Man, I don't know.
I mean, I get not winning it, but to literally have never, no one has ever voted for him? Yeah. That's wild.
To have that crazy team at 10-2,
yeah,
and look at it as opposed to all the other 10-2s and go, that is all Russell Wilson.
Yeah,
in my opinion. So, lots more we can get to on that game and
playing
talk
your
about.
Track, Joel.
I know. I like it. I like the fact that you had it ready. I didn't say hot and bothered.
Are you wet?
Okay.
This is fantastic.
This is the guy that's talking about wads and meat in the first segment, okay. And then I'm not supposed to comment, but then he asked me
don't
if
hate
I'm
me
wet
because I'm buff.
I'm glad you're enjoying my sausage, sir.
It'll be one of those days. Half hour in, and it's already way over the top. It's the Usual Suspects. Back with more in just mere minutes. ESPN 97.5.
This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back! Just a half hour into the Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5 on a Tuesday. Uh-oh, fellas.
Yeah.
It's about that time. Tomorrow's a Way Back Wednesday. We're looking for a theme. I'm sure someone's going to concoct something.
I have no idea.
That's not shocking. Zero. Although I do give you credit, lately you've been a little bit more focused on it.
I've tried. We're running out of themes here.
So I don't know what you guys are possibly thinking about, but could it be something tied into that big win over the Patriots?
No, that was last week.
Well, they won the game now.
Yeah, but that was last
week. I wasn't here
week.
Last week. I don't care.
But that was Sunday. You don't, I mean, Monday
okay,
begins.
Okay, so then we got to look forward.
New, right?
Don't screw up against the Broncos.
I mean, well, yeah, that's a
James
great,
Harden getting screwed.
That's a great Way Back Wednesday thing.
Okay, a-hole, go ahead. It's all on you. That, you wonder why it gets stuck in your lap and you got to think of this team.
Because y'all are
you
lazy.
You crap all over everything we say. What happened to the first rule of brainstorming? No idea is a bad idea, Barry.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, that is the first rule of brainstorming.
It is.
It's my bad.
Well, first rule is you have a brain, and then maybe you can avoid some of that.
Yeah, it's a good point. There was what was it I wanted to bring up from last night's game? Damn it, I forgot. We'll put a pin in it. We'll come back to it. But you mentioned the player of the week in the NBA.
Yes.
Your boy got a little upset.
Who's my boy?
You know who your boy is.
Believe me, that's not my boy.
That's your boy. And he was very upset that James Harden didn't win player of the week. Do we care that much?
Wait a minute.
Are we supposed to be upset that
he didn't
win? Are
you talking about the same guy that crapped all over him like for years and then suddenly thought he was good when he got back on the
that might be the
station
guy.
That has the Rockets?
Yeah, that might be the guy.
All right.
It could be.
So now we're on the same page. Now I know who you're talking about. So if you missed it.
Same guy that didn't like Westbrook and now.
Same situation. Yep. Different player involved. Same guy that got into it with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Well, I don't understand what the big deal is, first of all. Second of all, how is Melo even doing this?
So here's the question at hand, because Eddie Johnson, the ex-Rocket, who does Sirius Satellite Radio, and he and I were going back and forth on Twitter a little bit on this too. He seemed to justify and legitimize. Carmelo Anthony is the Western Conference Player of the Week, averaging a little over 22 points a game. There was a legit argument from the Rockets camp of Red Nationers and Kool-Aid drinkers that James Harden got screwed. Legit. Obviously, if you just go by stats, for sure. Luka Doncic also in that category of a guy that could have won it this week. With all that said, Eddie said, look, it's more about the story. It's the fact of what he's overcome, the fact that everybody had given up on him, the fact that he came back after this amount of time. He hadn't won one of these since 2014. And I said to him, the same discussion that the three of us have had on Hall of Fame, on the criteria involved in all these different awards. And until we know that intangibles are part of it, what people are looking at are individual stats and the record of the team for the week. And to your the first bigger point is, who cares?
Yeah.
Here we are in December, the first week in December, we're worried about who got a player of the week. And by the way, it's a plaque. It's a little like you got for like a bowling or a Cub Scout award. It's a plaque
right.
that says NBA player of the week. And sometimes they use a little action picture of you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So hate to miss out on that.
The fact that people are losing their, and they did. There were Rockets fans losing their mind over this. And it's like, okay, guess what? The NBA loves the story. It's the Cinderella story. It's Carmelo Anthony coming back from the depths of the dead and forgotten to resurrect his career in Portland after he had chances in Oklahoma City and Houston that didn't work out. For whatever reason, okay, it is what it is.
I'm surprised that he's playing this well, to be honest with you.
I'm with you.
I was ready to put a fork in him because he was done.
I'm with you.
And it looks like he has some sort of resurgence going on. We'll see how long it lasts. We'll see how long the chemistry on that team lasts. Because as you know, that dude is a chemistry wrecker. That's what he does.
I think one of the big things is he had to find the right the perfect situation. An environment in which shooting the mid-range was okay, which obviously it wasn't in Houston.
No.
Although,
if you've noticed in the last week or so, I've seen Russ take a lot more mid-range jumpers, and they seem to be okay with it.
I think because of the fact that Russ, they all know, is not a three-point shooter.
Right.
And forcing the three for a guy that shoots a low percentage already is just going to make that go down and make their offense less effective.
My point is that they're willing to make an exception for Russ. They weren't willing to make an exception for Carmelo Anthony. And my guess would be because D'Antoni already had to put aside the issues that he's had with him in the past. So he was probably like, no, you're gonna fall in line with what our offense is if you're going to be here.
Yeah, because he probably was afforded that leash, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago. He probably wasn't. Like Chris Paul would get that pass, and I see Russell Westbrook getting that pass. I don't see Carmelo Anthony at that point in his career where everybody basically lost faith in him gets that pass. You kind of lose that privilege when you've kind of when your reputation has developed into that. You know, LeBron James, if you're a guy that's on a team that shoots normally three-pointers a lot, and you're LeBron James, you're probably going to get away with a mid-range jumper too. You know, I just think it was just the situation. He didn't earn himself to get away with that pass anymore.
But that's
he
what lost I said. That. It's the perfect storm for him, right? Because the Blazers allow him to shoot twos and mid-range shots. The Blazers are one of those teams that bowed down when he said, if you notice, he never wavered on the fact that he does not want to come off the bench. Yeah. It's not something he does. So the fact that the Blazers from the get-go, from square one, from the first time he put on the red, white, and black, he started. So if they're going to just give in to everything he wants and allow him to shoot the twos, then it's the perfect storm for him. And like you said, Nick, he's trying to orchestrate the defense on a guy that couldn't stop anybody.
Yeah, I mean, it was in that one particular game. But I will say this. The advice that Stephen A. Smith gave him, and he said it on his show, I think is spot on. Because the reputation that he has is him being a ball stopper, a guy that interrupts the flow of an offense. So when he gets the ball, he either passes it or he makes the decision to shoot. Either he decides to shoot or he passes it. So he's not coined as this guy that's interrupting the flow of the offense. And I think that could not be better advice. Like, I think that's the best advice you can give Carmelo right now. If you're going to stop the ball, then take the shot. If you're not going to take the shot, pass it. Because that's the
thing he doesn't understand. He doesn't pass.
No, he doesn't. I mean, it was like that the day I was criticizing about him quarterbacking the defense. It was the same situation. If he got the ball, he was definitely stopping it. But I don't think he's necessarily taking that advice, but I think it would be good because that way he doesn't look like the guy who interrupted the flow. And if that play didn't work out and they didn't get the basket, Carmelo doesn't look like he's the guy who caused it.
Yeah, I think that, look, like I said, and the perfect storm is also they were desperate because they're just trying to tread water till they get some of their players back too. So the fact that he came in, they needed some kind of offense, and so they needed someone like him. They met all of his concessions and said, you know, you're going to start, and the mid-range is okay, and we'll go from there. And the fact that their two best players were both accepting him, which is key.
Yes, they're very key.
You've got to have the buy-in of Lillard and McCollum. Otherwise, this doesn't work either. And with all those things in the perfect storm, it's worked out for him. So kudos to everybody. You don't want to see a guy just flat out fall on his face. But this was self-inflicted in a lot of ways.
Yeah, we'll see how it lasts, though. He's 35 years old. We'll see if he's, you know, what his conditioning is like for the playoffs. And
well, interesting you say that, because the other thing is, when they do,
I'm sure they'll load manage with him.
When
right?
they get their big man back, you know, when they get some of their complimentary pieces back, is he then going to willing? Is he going to be like, look, you gave me what I wanted early, but in order for this team to get better, I'll take a lesser role. Maybe I'll come off the bench. Maybe I don't think
Mello?
I don't think he's that guy.
No way.
And that's what he needs to do for this to be successful long term. Otherwise, hey, the minute they start getting their players back, hey, thanks, buddy, but we'll see you later.
True.
If they're smart.
Has Nurkic done for the year?
I think he's coming back by midseason. I think he's supposed to come back.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just that obviously he wasn't ready for the start of the year. But okay. I still believe that when they get Nurkic back and they have some of their regular rotational guys.
Well, when they get Nurkic back, I mean, Melo will still play the four, right? Whiteside just going to go back to being a backup
Whiteside's
role.
He's not real big. He could play the four.
Yeah, well, so he'll be a backup for either of those guys, huh?
It's either he's going to start because they're going to continue to give in to him, or he's going to sit down so that they can play a big front line.
Well, if you don't have a backup plan for the holidays, you're in trouble. But you need to have a good plan because the holidays are here. What are you getting the wife or significant other? If it's not jewelry, you're messing up. You need to go see my guy Mark Klein at Klein's Fine Jewelry. He's going to take care of you for the holidays and year round. Mark, how are you going to help the people, man?
Well, you know, every single year we do it, and we do it right. We've been doing it since when my dad started in 1969. So obviously we know what we're doing in the jewelry business. If you go to the mall and go to some half-price sale because you don't have any idea about jewelry, I understand. You're a man. What do I do for Christmas? You got to check me out. My diamonds are the best in the city. My prices are the best in the city. We have thousands of pieces of jewelry in stock. Ready to go. You pull right up in front of the store. We give you a great piece of jewelry for your wife, your girlfriend, whatever it is. We wrap it right there in the store. We do it all. We're a very small store, so we're not like some big overhead store. We got to charge you a lot of money. If you need a quote on a diamond, I'll quote you my price over the phone. All right, you can call me anytime, and I'll quote you the price over the phone just to check and see if you're getting a good deal. Anything in jewelry, we manufacture it right here in the store. So whether it's diamond earrings, if you have old diamond earrings that were small that you want to trade in, you can trade them in with me. So anything in jewelry, diamond pendants, diamond earrings, diamond bracelets, anything you want in jewelry, you give us a call at 832-316-3000. 832-316-1388. That's 832-316-1388. We're going to be the best deal in the city. We took care of you. We take care of everybody when they come to Klein's. It's going to be the best deal, plain and simple.
Hands down, the best in the business. He took care of me. He's going to take care of you. Y'all go see him, Mark. We appreciate you, man.
Thanks.
There you go. Mark Klein, Klein's Fine Jewelry. We'll be back right after this.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, wrapping up the first hour of the show with this segment here on The Usual Suspects as we were kicking around the Western Conference Player of the Week, Carmelo Anthony. And a lot of Rockets fans that were more than a little upset that their boy James Harden as well as Luka Doncic were overlooked.
Was it a lot? Because I just saw the one.
Oh, no, 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 no. Because, you know, I'm privy to being included whether I like it or not in a
Very
lot of
true.
The
So there was
the
a lot
rowdy
of,
talk. And,
oh, yeah.
And it carried on because Eddie Johnson, like I said, Sirius Radio and Suns TV guy, Eddie Johnson, had to, like, respond to it by going, look, people, I know you're all a little worked up. But
silly.
Yeah, I mean, the dude's comeback story is something the league loves. So, interesting. But a lot of people have chimed in, and now Thomas wants to get in here on the discussion we just had. Thomas, what's your thoughts on Carmelo Anthony?
Hello?
Thomas, go ahead.
Yeah, man, I sit here and listen to you guys. First of all, that conversation about him being a starter, if you watch the game when they played the Rockets, the next following day they played against New Orleans. Carmelo didn't start that game. He only scored 8 points.
No, he started. So since
he's been playing, if you watch him basketball, and I watch all of them, not just the Rockets, not the Lakers. I've been watching all of them. I'm tracking them all every day, not in no fantasy league. I just like good players. Carmelo Anthony, you better watch him because he's been playing. You ain't seen him on the off season. He's been balling, so he's not gonna wear out. He's been doing this for a while. I don't care how old his age is. He's trying to take care of his body just like LeBron is. He's got a chance. Portland got him a chance. Okay, the man won. He won doggone Player of the Week. Next week, who knows? LeBron might win it. After that, who knows? The kid from Denver might win it. Okay, no big deal. Move on. But Carmelo is balling. He's got a chance to play right now. Damian Lillard is hurt. A couple other players are hurt. Let him have his due. All the people that's putting all this out here making a big deal about it, just watch the dude. We already know in the end, in the Western Conference, you better get ready for the Clippers, the Lakers, the Rockets. And when Curry come back, don't count the Warriors out. In Denver. God. Get ready.
Thomas, you're spot
it's
on.
It's going to be tight.
It's my bad. I don't watch basketball. It's not my forte. You got me there. And the fact that I would believe that you probably think Adrian Peterson is still a go-to running back in the NFL. Is that possible? Thomas, thanks for the call.
Yeah, it's possible.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thomas, thanks for the call.
What did he say about age? He's only as old as his age is?
I didn't catch that part.
Did he say that? We have to go back and listen because he said something. He said something about the ceiling is the roof. And he literally said that. Now, I will, a couple things, Thomas, not to shoot holes in your theory here, but
the ceiling is the roof.
I pulled up the Pelicans game after the Rockets game, and Joel is 1,000% right. Carmelo Anthony started. He
Thank
played 24
much.
Minutes.
Thank
he
you.
Scored 10 points.
But so you're watching start. Every game, Thomas. I don't want to take that away from
so
you.
He did start. And yeah, Carmelo is playing well for now. He's 35. We'll see how good of shape he's in. I don't know. I feel like you maybe took it the wrong way. Our whole point was Rockets fans need to calm down.
Yeah.
Maybe you were on our side, but it felt like you felt like we thought differently. I don't know. That was
Welcome to being a suspect, though. We hope you listen on a regular basis, because if you do, you realize I have a tendency to watch a lot of games, too.
Joel watches every single basketball game.
That's why I say I give Barry props. He's
shut up.
Thicker skin, and when it comes down to the text line, I can only look at the text line once every couple shows. because it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, at least you don't fight back. I mean, you don't.
I will. Every once in a while.
I know. It's like your resolutions are when you decide that you're not responding. And I think that for all of our mental health, we allow you to just control the inbox. All right, let's try this again. Maybe we've got a better opportunity with Keith. Keith wants to get in here on Carmelo. Keith, what's up?
I watch the Harlem Globetrotters. I watch a lot of basketball, and Carmelo didn't start against New Orleans.
That sounds like...
Yeah, nice try.
Nice parody account, nice Keith. Try. We appreciate it. Yeah,
nice try, Keith.
I don't know who's screening calls. Maybe it's an intern that doesn't know OU Mike's face. I mean, voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all don't know his face.
That's a good try, Keith. Keith. I'm making air quotes. Keith. Mm-hmm. Scram, dude.
Scrizzam. Yeah, I mean, he's probably just a Carmelo Anthony fan. He sounded a lot like Jake Asman, to be honest with you.
Who?
That caller. Not.
Well, Jake's a New Yorker, and it's like Polillo. Polillo knows that he...
Thomas? You're talking about Thomas?
Yeah.
Thomas? I don't know. I didn't know how to take that call. I didn't know if he was upset with us or Rockets fans.
He kind of reminded me of Doc because he came in guns blazing. And then by mid-comment, it was kind of like changing the tide of where he was going with that.
Yeah. I don't know. That was weird. I just want to know what he said about his age. He said something, I swear he said he's only as old as his age is.
Believe me. If it's there, we'll find it.
I just remember thinking, what does that even mean? I don't know. I wouldn't hang my hat on Carmelo Anthony balling out week in and week out, though.
Look, for that team to be successful, if they get Nurkic back, those are your big three.
Yeah.
Lillard, McCollum, Nurkic. And if they're not, then Terry Stotts should be fired.
The track record's not good, though, right?
Right. I mean, look, he's trying to overcome some really bad outcomes over the last couple of years. The Oklahoma City thing, obviously a complete disaster, followed by the Houston thing, which is, even if it's possible, more of a disaster. So, and then, in the meantime, and you keep saying, well, you know what he's been doing? He's been balling. He's been like LeBron, keeping himself healthy. If that means because of lack of being able to have a job, you kept yourself in shape and you're fresh, he better be fresher than the produce that just got dropped off at Kroger. Because, I mean, he hasn't played in like a year.
Did I miss something about Dame being hurt, too?
He's been off and on with back spasms.
Okay. Because, I mean, I looked at the last three games, and he's played in all three of them.
He came back. He missed when they first brought Carmelo in. He missed that game in New Orleans with back spasms.
Okay.
He missed the following game after that. Then they brought him back.
In Milwaukee. How do you know, Joe? You don't watch basketball.
Gosh, my bad.
You need to get better at this, bro.
I got to work at it.
Yeah, you do. I mean, come on.
All right. So anyway, Rockets at San Antonio tonight to take on the Spurs. That's going to be interesting to see because it's starting a road trip in which they head out on the road. They've got Toronto on that road trip before they come back home. So we'll see how that goes. But other than that, look, I mean, it's not a whole lot of everybody's not real focused on the Rockets unless we're talking about player of the week or early MVP conversation, because we talked last week how that, and that is a travesty. And look, I've been the one, the fact that James is playing the way he's playing, he's putting up the numbers that he's playing, that he's putting up, and people are losing their mind over Luka Doncic and LeBron and Adetokounmpo. And Adetokounmpo's the one guy, I would say, Adetokounmpo's numbers are to where you can have that conversation. But otherwise, offensively, the numbers James is putting up, I guess we just get immune to seeing it on a night-in, night-out basis. But there's no one scratching the surface compared to that.
I bet it all takes care of itself, right? Like, I remember losing my mind, was it last year or the year before, when there was MVP talk in week one?
You lose your mind a lot. I lose track of it.
But
yeah, you're right.
But I'm saying, like, that's I think it was Giannis, but I don't think it was the year he won. I think it was the year before when James won. Maybe it was last year. I don't know. But they were... Like week one, they're like, "Well, he's the MVP." It's like it's 1 week. This is 1 week of Carmelo.
Yeah, I mean, look, sample size.
Exactly.
We talk about sample sizes a lot. It's a small sample size, and like you said, and I'm totally with you for a lot of reasons. Let's have this conversation again in April, where we can evaluate the body of work to that point in the season.
That's Tyler told me what he said. I don't care how old his age is.
What?
I don't care how old his age is.
Man, there's two of us.
Ceiling is the roof, buddy.
Somehow, some way, that wraps up hour number one of the show. We got 2 hours to go, and it can only go up from here. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.